Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, welcome to Spin the Rally Pod. I'm Lisa O'Sullivan, your humble rally fan, and it's something a little bit different today on the podcast because I'm joined by the Women in Motorsport coordinator for Dirtfish.com, Josie Rimmer. Now, this is the woman who was behind all the magic of Dirtfish's awesome Women in Motorsport Month. And if you haven't checked it out on Dirtfish.com, you can go back and at your leisure enjoy all the content that was generated from the Women in Motorsport Month. And there was one woman who was responsible for sticking this right at the top of the agenda, supported by the rest of the team at Dirtfish.com, which I was delighted to see. But Josie Rimmer, boy, sitting in your swivel chair thinking, what shall I do? I've got some ideas. Swivel, swivel, swivel. That was quite some success, the Women in Motorsport Summit. The Dirtfish Women's Summit. I've got the title completely wrong.
It's okay. The thing is that when you have 12 different things going on, there are 12 different names running around too. But yes, it was Dirtfish Women's Month with the Dirtfish Women in Motorsport Summit smack in the middle of it.
Perfect. And the summit, well, first of all, let's talk about women in motorsport. First of all, I am going to beat David Evans up because he is very supportive of all these projects, but he forgot to tell me that it was happening. And it's like, you didn't think that you might want to flag up that this was going to be happening, David, before launch day.
Right. Well, you know, it's okay. We can add that to the list of reasons to be mad at David.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's quite a long list, actually. We might have to get a new book for that one. We love you, really, Beckham. Honestly, we do. The Women in Motorsport Initiative was something that the FIA started up, and I'm thinking it was 13 years ago. It was around about 13 years ago. And at the time, as often the case of being a woman in a men's workplace, there was an element of, oh, I wonder if that'll be any good, mixed with, is there any point for something like that, along with, does it really matter? Which I'm sad to say, kind of 13 years along, and knowing that these things do matter, yes, there is a point, and it is really good. But 13 years along, I still keep hearing the same things coming back to me, although things do seem to be stepping forward. How much of a challenge was it for you to embrace the Women in Motorsport Month initiative on Dirtfish.com, and how much support did you get for it?
Yeah. Well, first off, within Dirtfish, everyone was ready to go. The moment that the idea was thrown out of doing something for Women's Month, whatever it was going to turn into, the team at Dirtfish was gung-ho from the get-go. I think we've got incredible team members who have known that this is something that's been needed in the community for years and years and years, you know, long before the days of Michel Mouton and since the days of Michel Mouton. So internally, the conversation immediately was positive and exciting and really looking forward to the prospects of how big we could make it and how large of a splash we could have. I'll say that 98% of our response to Women's Month was wonderful. It was, you know, people were excited to see representation. They were excited to have the opportunity to come to Dirtfish in person, participate in one of our all-women's classes, come for the summit, or, you know, just following along online. We've got a huge international audience who was able to keep up day to day through our articles and our videos and all of our online content, as well as joining for the live stream, the Zoom of the summit panel itself. So 98% of the response was wonderful and inspiring. And of course, there are some people who make themselves known who don't see the purpose, like you said, think that we're excluding people, say that it's worthless, say that there's no reason for it. So of course, that's hard to manage. But when you have thousands of other people sharing how important this month is for them, you know, that tends to outweigh the rest.
It is quite interesting, I think, when some people knock it on the head and say, well, really, is it necessary? Is it why do we need something like this? And they kind of forget elements like women in a household are most likely to be making the buying decisions. They're most likely to be in charge of the budget. So women are key spenders, and women enjoy motorsport, women enjoy sport, and they want to participate in sport, but sometimes there is no gateway in. And this is, I think, one of the things that Women in Motorsport has done very well over the last 13 years, that it has shown young women and girls that they can be a mechanic, they can be designing cars, they can be working as part of the rally school team, they can be working behind the wheel, they can be in the passenger seat calling the pace notes, they can be running the teams, they can be right up there with all of these decisions. That it's not as, and I know this is a weird phrase to use, but someone described them as hosties, that basically a woman's job used to be to roll on the lycra and stand around by the car trying to make the car look a little bit prettier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those days have gone, I think.
For the most part, yes. I have had the experience of walking around a service park and being asked if I was the umbrella girl. So, you know, a mixed reaction there, but you're totally right. We have women in all of these roles. And, you know, when I started at Dirtfish, I was writing, you know, and I still am writing articles for them. But from the beginning, I said that I wanted to only be writing articles about women in motorsport. And I asked to do that because I was lucky enough to grow up in the world of rally and of motorsport. And I saw women, but I even felt like there was a lack of like female resource and there was no easy way to find the women that were doing these amazing things. And so it makes you feel like no one's doing it. Like there are no female, you know, drivers or crews or techs or media, you know, whatever it is. But as soon as I started looking for women to write articles on, there were women everywhere. You know, as soon as I started looking, they were all over the service park, in cars, out of cars, under helmets. And that was one of the most enlightening moments for me. And what I think we being the whole rally community, the whole motorsport community, something that we've failed at historically is representing women in motorsport in our media appropriately and giving them the proper credit that they deserve and that they've worked for, you know. One time a female co-driver was referred to as another driver's co-driver's wife rather than just saying her name, you know.
So she had to be validated. She had to be
right. Yeah. You know these people, and therefore you're worthy of being talked about, right? So anyway, to go back to your point, is representation was top of the list for us when we started Women's Month, you know. Women are doing these things, and it's our job to show that.
So you had this swivel chair moment of thinking more, we need to do more. How did you go about setting up what you wanted to achieve during March?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, Women's Month sort of, it was like this beast that kind of built itself. A good beast. But, you know, it sort of started with, I'm writing these Women in Motorsport articles, and the response that we were getting from those alone was so incredible that it just felt like this was an appropriate time for us to do something more, to take another step. You know, Dirtfish is really committed to stepping into this role as a promoter of women in motorsport. Yeah. You know, culturally, socially, we're ready for it. We should have been ready for it long ago, but, you know, in order for us to have a bigger impact, we have to choose to start somewhere. So yeah, you know, the swivel chair moment was kind of funny. And the first Women in Motorsport meeting wasn't even designated a Women in Motorsport meeting. You know, I just sat down with a couple folks within the company and, you know, asked what we could be doing. You know, I have this Google Doc that's like 12 pages of like short-term ideas and long-term ideas and permanent ideas and temporary ideas.
Love it.
So we just kind of toyed around with all of that. But like I said, the support from within Dirtfish was quick and strong. You know, Michelle Miller is one of our senior instructors, and she's been at Dirtfish for 8 years now, you know, so she's been the only, our only female instructor for seven of those, 7.5 of those years, you know? So for her, like, she's been ready for this project since the day that she walked in. And we've got some other incredible women in the building. You know, we've got Sammy Dallas, who is our director of operations, and we've got Kelly Clausen-Walters and Xander Lorenzo, who are up, you know, in our office crew. So we've got Kendra Miller, who is our new female instructor in training. So just really, really exciting people who are really excited about this project. And then it sort of went from there. The priorities that I knew from the get-go were, we want to create a space where we can get new women into motorsport. You know, women who maybe have heard of Dirtfish locally and kind of want to go, but have had something holding them back. And then we wanted to, you know, amplify the voices of the women who have been doing it. So that was the foundation of our plans, definitely.
So you say kind of roping, going local first before you rule the world and go global. Bit by bit. How did you go about that then? So how do you kind of lure out these dirtfish that are sitting around part of the community, but perhaps not being able to get hands on?
So
because quite often with, and I know this is true of rallying across, anybody who is a rally fan will say, well, you know, budgeting, finances and stuff like that. It is usually even harder for women to find the financing that they need to embrace the sport that they usually love.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, our first plan was, let's have an all-women's driving day. We're just going to take a date on our calendar that's not yet full. We're going to change it to be an all-women's driving day. And it's like you said, we kind of needed, there was a reason to make it special. Like, there was reason to give it a discount, and there was reason to go crazy promoting it on social media. A bigger cultural reason than just like, hey, we're running this deal. So yeah, we did our first all women's driving day, promoted it at 15% off, and it sold out within an hour. So, wow. You know, I ran over to the office of our sales guy and our CEO, and I said, can we do another one?
So there's a market for this.
Right.
And people want to spend their money with us.
Right. And that's the thing, too, is the classes will fill, whether or not it's a women's day or one of our typical programs. The class is going to fill. So why not provide a special or a unique experience, you know, that can really leave women feeling empowered and confident in their new skill. So we added a second date to the calendar, also 15% off, sold out in an hour. So then we added two more programs. One was an invitation only. And that one was sort of cool, because what I really wanted to do with that class was invite in women who are in the motorsport community already, but who were not drivers. So to give the opportunity to a woman who is constantly surrounded, you know, by the rally world and that community, but who hasn't maybe gotten the chance to actually get behind the wheel and drive themselves. So that was a really amazing day. And then our fourth and final class, again, sold out in a few days. So,
and with that, then you've got this basis of, you know, you've planted the seed, and now it's budding basically at this point, that there is definitely something in this women in motorsport thing. How did you then build on that to get to the summit side of things?
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah, like you mentioned, we saw the need immediately, you know, and the responses that we were getting, and we had wait lists for every single one of these programs. So we, you know, we knew that we hadn't run out of women who were interested. So the idea for the summit was that again, going back to representation, that's been a priority for me this whole time. And what, you know, I sat down with some of the other women in the company, and we just discussed, like, what did we want? You know, what do we want from women in motorsport? What do we wish we could have seen? And one of those things was talking, having them speaking, you know? So the idea for the panel came pretty quickly. I think I just wanted to get, you know, use our stance as Dirtfish Rally School, use the beautiful setting that we have and the powerful people that we have, and use that as a draw to get some of the world's top women in motorsport involved. And how cool would that be if we could have them in Dirtfish headquarters with an audience and have them engage that way? So I'm very, very grateful to be so close, and I'm so lucky to be so personally close with Rhiannon Gelsomino. She co-drove.
Oh, we love Rhi.
Oh, she's the best. She, you know, co-drove for my brother 1 year. Unfortunately, they had a really bad accident, but we've been, you know, sisters ever since. So she really, really helped me get this part off the ground. Like, to get women at Dirtfish, Ree was, instrumental to that. And that's the other thing that I think was so cool in planning all of this Women in Motorsport, or planning this Women's Month, was that women are so excited to help each other. You know, I planted one seed in Ree, and she called everyone she knew. And then they called everyone they knew. And of then we have... you know, the likes of Sarah Price and Emma Gilmore is calling in from New Zealand, and the Blocks are there, and we've got local rallyists, you know, the Tabers and Karen Jankowski, and we've got women who are running motorsport businesses, Donna Kitch and Chrissy Wells. So it was just so quick to turn into this whirlwind.
Kind of moving one of our superpowers as women, that we do know how to talk. And we generally know how to talk to each other in a way that we like and we want to do more of.
And in a productive way, you know? I mean, like, in every single one of these all women's classes, I'd walk into the classroom, all these women have had 5 minutes to talk, and they're exchanging business cards. They're saying, my business can help you in this realm and you can help me there and maybe we can partner, you know, like
so different from my experience of going to anything in motorsport and being one of the few women there.
Right.
And you walk into a room where there'll be a couple of people who know each other chatting and everybody else is looking down at their notepads.
Exactly.
And you kind of like just creepy thing. Why isn't anybody talking to anybody?
Exactly. Yeah, you totally understand, because of course you've been in those spaces. Over and over again.
They are getting better. I do think they are. I mean, I was lucky enough recently. I was working in China for the Olympic Games and the Paralympic Winter Games. And the team that I was working with, I was working as a commentator, and there were more men than women, as there is. The company I was working for, the Olympic Broadcasting Service, is actively trying to get more women behind the microphones, which is brilliant, which gave me the opportunity to go out there, which I'm forever grateful for. Absolutely amazing. But the interesting thing was that the men that I was working with were very feminine in their outlook, because all talking for a living, all very keen to share skills, to share tips. It was a very safe environment as a freelancer to be working in, because we weren't competing with each other. Nobody was trying to score points off anybody. And it was a very feminine space, because there was no willy waving going on effectively. You know, it was about doing the job well and seeing if you could help your co-workers and stuff out. But all of it basically came down to the fact that everybody was talking to each other. I mean, we talked a lot.
But you're right. Like, and beyond it being just, you know, just talking, women have this incredible ability to connect. And I think that typically we have this inherent desire to see each other succeed. In that space that you're talking about, you know, when that's the goal of any room, no matter who is in the room, when that's the goal to help each other succeed, you're going to move light years beyond what you would have, you know, staring at your phone.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
Being competitive or wanting to be the best one there, or whatever it is.
And I think also rallying is one of those sports where, yes, you want to beat everybody, you want to win, you want to be top of the podium. But to do that, you have to be your best. So it is about competing against the course, like golf. You're not playing against other people. You're playing against the course. You're playing within your own skill set. You want somebody else to pick up a puncture and lose time, but you still have to be fast, you know?
Yeah.
It's pushing yourself to be the best.
Yeah. And that's what Michelle Mouton talks about so much. She's like, it was never my goal to be, you know, the world champion necessarily. She just says, I wanted to be really fast. You know, I wanted to prove to myself that I could do this. And it was out of that she won a world rally championship. It wasn't her constantly comparing herself to everyone. She also has this quote of being a woman in the sport wasn't the hard part. Being a driver is the hard part. And that's hard for everybody driving, you know? And that's one of the beauties of rally, is that it's one of the few sports where there's no gender divide. I guess I'm hesitant about some of the all women's race series now, and I won't get too far into that.
I think that's a subject up for discussion, but I think it does. The all women series does give more women an opportunity to compete in a, you know, opens up the opportunities. to actually get behind the wheel?
Absolutely. I think, so that's what we were trying to do. That was our entire goal with having the all-women's classes, is let's create a space where, you know, again, if there's a woman sort of feeling hesitant about doing it, of course it's daunting to walk into a room where there are 9 men in there, you're the only women, and egos are through the roof, and everyone's a professional, in quotes.
And there'll always be a couple who are ready to chuck in some comments that will make you feel that you're an imposter, or that... Or will all be designed to make you feel uncomfortable.
Exactly. So why not create a space
where... Even if we have got our big girl pants on.
Which we always do.
Always do.
But yeah, like, why not create a space to where none of that exists, you know? And so for us, it's less about making it a... We're not looking into making all-female competition, because we think, and personally, I think that...
Competition is competition.
Competition. It's like, you know, when you put the helmet on, no one knows who you are. And I think that that's one of the beauties of Rally that we should not pull away from. But having... Creating all-female spaces for training and for learning and for engaging at the intro level, I think that's vital to getting women into the sport.
I'm going to go back to Michelle Mouton, because I can listen to her speak for months and weeks. You know, I want to hear all the stories, all the tales. And if you haven't heard them, you can go back and listen to the Dirtfish interview with Michelle Mouton on the website, still there, clickable. Also the interview with Pernilla Solberg as well, which again is, it's revelatory for someone who's grown up in a country where there have always been traditional male and female roles. Pernilla talks very interestingly about growing up in Norway, where it didn't matter if she was a girl, that she was out playing in cars from an early age, you know, fixing them up, racing them, or in the, you know, being in the co-driver's seat. It, again, I've spoken to, you know, I've listened to Pernilla before, and I've heard it before, but listening to that, the way that she describes her life experience of growing up without gender bias and anything's possible, it just feels like nirvana, you know. Just, you are judged on who, on how good you are or who you are, not whether you've got breasticles or not.
Yeah, exactly. And Pernilla is incredible, because she's pretty much done everything within the driving world. You know, she's taken a stab at most things.
She grew up in a motorsport family. She married a rally driver. Her son is a rally driver. Exactly. She's been the team boss for a rally team. Exactly. I mean, she hasn't stopped there yet. She's been a co-driver.
No, and she's currently team manager. Like, she, yeah. You know, she's done it all. And she's a beautiful representation of the ability for women to take up other roles in the motorsport community. You know, you know, of course, before it used to be like, you're a woman, you can be the umbrella girl. But now it's not even just, yeah, okay, women can drive and women can co-drive. Now it's, you can do anything, you know? And being a team manager, arguably, is one of the most challenging roles in the motorsport community. And she's doing it, and she's succeeding, you know, on incredible levels.
It's very different as well, I find, when you have women higher up in the hierarchy, because the conversations are different, but the same. It's not always going to be the case. Obviously, I'm making big generalizations here, but I do find that when women are involved in a conversation, there's different elements brought to the conversation, that people see things differently. So to go back to the way that I was working in China at the Olympics, mm-hmm. and somebody pointed it out to me, which I hadn't been aware of, I was commentating on a sport I hadn't done before, speed skating, mm-hmm. and my co-commentator is very used to calling races, you know, and he's Australian, that, and his format is very traditional of how to call the race. This is how you do it, blah, blah, blah. And I was very interested in that. I was also interested in the actual bite and glide that you have to try and get as much. It's very much like rally driving, speed skating. It's all about having the right amount of traction to give you as much speed as possible to get around the circuit, you know, and stay out in front. And, you know, you have this magnificent moment where you're seeing them going around the corners at 50 or 60 kilometres an hour and looking like they're putting no effort in, but it's all about the grip that they've got and, you know, how they've set their engine up, you know, or how they've set the blades up on the skates. But I was also interested in the stories behind the skaters as well. Also about the fact that, I don't know if you know this, but if you're speed skating, you have to wear Kevlar in your suit because the blades are so sharp that you can bleed out really quickly. So you have to have Kevlar around your artery points. And on the official website for the sport has a map of the human body, and kind of in red, the bits where you need the most Kevlar. So kind of your femoral arteries and your aorta, obviously, you know, they need to be protected. So, again, very much like covering rallying, because it's dangerous. It has inherent danger. You could die doing your sport. Yeah. But the critique that we had coming back was that I brought something different to the commentary because I wasn't doing it in the traditional, this is how we do it, that's how we do it, that's do it. I was coming at it from a slightly different point of view, and it was proving very popular with the people that were following the sport who'd followed it for a long time because they were seeing it with a different way. And kind of my point is that the more that we get women rising through the organisations and to different levels within motorsport and motorsport teams, there will be different elements there, and it will probably be for the best.
Yeah, I think obviously I hold a lot of value in the classics and in the you know, for lack of a better word, the traditional side of rally, only because, you know, my dad grew up in rally
It's exciting, isn't it? It's like the 80s. It's all new romantics gloss and fabulousness.
And we just stumbled upon a rally in the UK a few weeks ago, that, you know, you walk in and it's a sea of classic escorts. And I was just like the happiest little camper, you know, bopping around. But I completely agree with you. You can't expect anything to further develop or modernize or become innovative if you don't change the voices sometimes, or at least include more voices, more perspectives.
Yes, and diversity. That's one thing as well that I think rallying is really missing at the moment. It's still very white.
Absolutely.
And the phrase male, stale and pale, it's fine, but it needs more. It needs, your word, more.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about that. The whole planning of Women's Month, that was something so far at the forefront of my mind, because the question then is, how do we make rally accessible? Because you can tell by the population that is currently engaged in motorsport, there's a certain type of person that it's accessible to. And that's just the way it's been historically. So how do we use our power and our privilege and our, status wherever we are, especially being in the Pacific Northwest? Seattle is quite diverse, but a lot of Washington is not. So, balancing all of those topics, it's totally true. And I've really tried to, you know, I'm also speaking as a privileged white woman, just to be very clear. but, you know, we really did try to diversify the panel and everything, not just for the sake of saying that we did it, but for the sake of there are women, every kind of woman is somewhere in this motorsport community. But obviously, we, being the motorsport community as a whole, has not yet done a good enough job of actively pulling creating an accessible space for anyone who's interested to join.
Looking back, because we have a little bit of distance between there, you've probably got some sleep now, had some sleep. Although I suspect you're probably already planning for next year. Looking back, what do you think went particularly well, and what would you like to change?
Well, something that I really, really found valuable was the lunch with the pros. So we actually started our summit day with the lunch with the pros, and that was it was a ticketed event, with the money being raised going to the Jesse Combs Foundation.
Could you explain that to perhaps people on this side of the people outside who don't know what the Jesse Combs?
So Jesse Combs was an incredible motocross racer. And she really delved into all facets of the motorsport world, you know, in that sense. And so she unfortunately passed a few years ago. But in her honor, a foundation was created called the Jesse Combs Foundation. And it's a nonprofit. Their goal is to empower young women to get into male-dominated sports. So it's not specific to rally or even motorsport at all. It's just, you know, it's what we're trying to do too, is create a path for young women to, you know, have access to, and a path for them to be able to take to get into a sport that they might not be getting much encouragement to engage in otherwise. So that was really powerful to be aligned with them at all. And then the lunch with the pros was amazing because it was Sarah Price, Rhiannon Gelsomino, and again, Emma Gilmore called in from New Zealand. And it was like, I believe we had 14 women who signed up for this event, and they all just got to have lunch together. together. And it was just a really small and intimate setting where you got to ask the questions that you've been dying to ask, you know, one-on-one. So that was a really powerful one. But to be honest, the most powerful moment was I was sitting, you know, on the end of the panel, watching these women talking. And I'll be completely honest, I was worried that no one was going to show up. you know, you can ask David. I was running around panicking.
They're going to buy a ticket to humor you, but they just won't bother coming.
Right. It was, so I was, you know, riddled with anxiety that no one was going to show up. And that's a female trait too. You know, we just worry about everything. But nine women are sitting on the panel. Emma Gilmore's on the screen. And on the other side of the room, we're pulling in chairs because every seat's full. And then people are coming in and it's standing room at the back. And then King 5 News Station, which is a local Seattle news station, shows up with a camera. So it's like, I was just sitting there, like almost brought to tears because the energy in the room was just so strong and so centered and focused in female accomplishment, which we don't tend to put much focus on.
No, we all play it down, don't we?
Exactly. And we do it to ourselves all the time. Like, you know, I'm weightlifting. I like lifting weights. And every single time I set a new record, a new personal best, I go, I know it's only blah, blah, blah. You know, like, no. So we do that.
My mum does that. My mum produces the most amazing. My mum's 83. She has the most. She's a brilliant cook, and she'll lay out this feast that the family will tuck into, and she'll go, oh, I think I've overcooked that a bit, and oh, maybe I should have done that. And she'll go, oh, did you want those? Oh, do you want me to go make you something else? It's like no, sit, eat,
yeah, and enjoy. You know, admit that you did something, that you accomplished something.
Well, she always manages to cook everything so that it's all hot at the same time. Whereas I've still got timing issues where I'll have like the main event and the potatoes aren't cooked. So we're just going to have to kind of sit here for another 5 minutes.
Me too. I can't figure that one out either.
even if I do make a little spreadsheet for it and right, put in the potatoes now. They don't follow the plan.
No. Why would you? So those were some really powerful moments. Next year, well, first of all, something that we really struggled with was the fact that the only date that we could get on the calendar was a Thursday. Okay. So that was challenging. You know, people are working. And it was amazing because we had people show up who had taken the day off of work. We had people fly in, you know. So we were really lucky that people were willing to do that. But I think that was a great setting for our inaugural event. And next year, first things first, we'll have it on a weekend so that we can get a bigger audience.
Or even better, a Friday, so then you can have a long weekend with it.
There's an idea. The problem is that we can't hold it in that room anymore because, I mean, knock on wood.
Is it too small?
It's too small. And there's not a big, we don't really have a bigger room. So the question is, do we put it outside? Which then creates the classic Seattle conundrum of A, will it be raining? Probably. And B, it's going to be dark at like 4:30. So
there is that.
Anyway.
There's ways around these things.
Exactly.
This is another thing that I've noticed from covering Paralympic sport and rallying is the attitude is generally, it doesn't matter what the target is or where you're going, you just need to find the way to get there.
Yes.
You know, even if it's somebody who's trying to make sure that the car gets through scrutineering or something like that at the lower level, there's always a cable tie that will pull them through or something.
Yes.
Or you'll see a Paralympian go off and redesign prosthesis or something else and say, yeah, no, they used to do it like that, but I've found that if I do this, then I can do it that way. And it's like, okay, yeah, it's not a case of, well, we won't be able to do it. It's just, how do we do it?
And no,
I find that very, very inspiring from both sports. As I say, I do find so many linking, so many things that link with between Paralympic sport and rallying. And it's basically because it's all about can do.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's an attitude that we definitely have. I think that we just have to get creative.
Yeah. So we are seeing the WIM banner on the top of the Dirtfish menu. If you go to dirtfish.com, that's going to be there for the year. We're going to still have plenty of content appearing on the site, yeah?
Yes. So if you just head to dirtfish.com and press the WIM tab, we've got all of our women, you know, female-centered articles are there in one place. And all content. Interviews with Michelle Mouton are on there and everything. So that's a gold mine, definitely. And then the other thing that we are currently working on adding, our wonderful Alistair on the British team, is working on building a new page under the WIM tab, which I guess I can just spoiler alert, which will have all of our all women's driving days coming up. They'll live on that site.
Nice.
So that's
nice
another announcement that we are not done with the women's, you know, the Women in Motorsport initiative did not end at the end of.
It has just started. You've just turned the key in the engine.
Yes. So we already have three new dates for all women's driving days. Those are going to be announced in the coming days. One in June, one in December, one in August.
I think they might already have popped up, actually. I think when I was having a little nose on the website.
I guess we'll see. I can't keep up.
When you get a notification that they've sold out again.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So, I have to say the December one, brilliant Christmas present.
That's what I thought.
And do you get snow at that time of year? Are we talking about a little bit of...
We might. So we don't tend to get too much snow, but last year we got a huge, huge dump and... We ran classes anyway, and the students were like...
You need to get
like,
somebody over from Sweden to build you some snowbanks.
Now, there's an idea. We'll need to call Patrick Sandell, yeah.
get Pernilla to come over. Pernilla can
Pernilla
come over.
Can do it.
She can do anything.
Yeah, she can.
she can tell us how to orchestrate and how to drive them, more importantly, and not park the nose in and disappear in.
Exactly.
to start climbing out.
Yes, exactly.
Back to the David Evans story of him trying to take a shortcut in Sweden and accidentally falling in a river and nearly drowning.
I don't think I've heard that story.
Well, you need to get him to tell you it in person. But the shortcut is that he didn't want to walk all the way round, so was persuaded by another journalist to take a shortcut in this very deep, very white, very flat snow and just disappeared into the snow because it was a river underneath.
Yeah, he could have used Pernilla there, definitely.
Definitely. Or just his brain.
Or, yeah, you know, he struggles with that sometimes.
Yeah. It was nearly very nasty for our poor old Beckham, but we've still got him. He's still with us.
Well, I'm glad he's around because, well, he's probably less glad that he was around during Women's Month because I think I called him once a day for the entire month. And I will say...
Get him to earn his money.
Right. Just to put on, like, the ally note for a second, David has been, the whole British team, but David has been instrumental in making Women's Month work, and he's a man. But he understands completely what power he does hold, and he is actively using it to help us make the most out of our Women in Motorsport efforts as possible. So just a quick shout out there. David's definitely a feminist, whether or not he'll say.
good for him. He is, I have to say, he's a good friend as well. So I think a good friend to all of us, which is great. And David, we're not going to say these nice things to your face. So just pretend we haven't said them. Josie Rimmer, thank you so much for your time. I'm very much looking forward to next year already. And who knows, maybe I'll sneak out and come and have a little race around the circuits some point.
That would be amazing. We need to have you there. We need you doing your Olympic style commentating for the event.
Oh, I'd love to do that. That'd be amazing. Yes, that's my contribution.
Beautiful.
Make everybody sound fabulous.
Yes.
Because they'll be looking fabulous anyway.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa.